Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome, brothers and sisters in Christ, to another episode. Man, we're just crazy. It's just almost summer, but we still feel like spring. Well, I should say almost spring. But anyway, our brother Claude Stauffer is back with us. Calvary Chapel of Hope is the website, calvarychapelofhope.org. He's a New Yorker. We love him. And his blog website is shepherdofhope.org, shepherdofhope.org. Brother, thanks for your time today. I'm excited to talk about this important topic to encourage believers.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, Claude, we didn't do an episode on your latest book. You did two on the Holy Spirit. What is your most recent book title, please?
My most recent title is a sequel to my previous book on the Holy Spirit. The first one was, Have You Heard of the Holy Spirit? The second book, my latest book, is Have You Heard What the Holy Spirit Expressly Says About the Latter Times?
Okay. Have you heard what the Holy Spirit expressly says about the latter times? All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And you can get that on Amazon?
Yes, it's available on Amazon in hardcover, paperback, Kindle, or audiobook.
Sounds good. So we were talking either text or email leading up to this, and resurrection season is upon us. It's important. It's important for the church not to celebrate Easter and bunnies and chocolate and pastels or whatever, spring fertility, but to understand the empty tomb and the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what our faith is based on. But you also talked about the top 10 things people are worrying about right now. So before we get to that, and I like the list, Claude, we can go through whatever you want to share from that, but I want to quote you. You say the resurrection is God's exclamation point on his promises. That is verifiable proof. We can trust him and we don't have to worry. I love that. It's so simple, and I think everybody watching and listening would agree. But with the daily grind and with all that's happening in the world and the division, not only politically, but even in the church today, Claude, I think there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of things that are distracting people, maybe causing more opportunities to worry. Your thoughts overall before we dive in?
Well, I just think there are a few things that are prevalent in culture, in society, in our world today. One of them is division. Mm-hmm. We see in our own nation a tremendous divide. You know, on one side you have those who hate the President Trump and it's been said he could cure cancer and they still wouldn't give him any credit. You know, I mean, no matter what he does, he can't do anything right. On the other side, you have those who are, for the most part, pro-Trump, pro-President Trump. But now even on the conservative side, on the right, you have a divide between, you know, you have the rise of Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and others now who are questioning President Trump, questioning the influence of Israel in the conservative movement. And it's causing a great deal of animus, a great deal of conflict. And then, of course, you have the present war in Iran between America and Israel versus Iran to try to put down that source of worldwide terror. And, on the one hand, you have victories, right? You have victories in Venezuela, right? You have tremendous victory in Venezuela. You have, I think, what will turn out to be a victory in Iran to hopefully topple that regime and let the people elect democratically a government that'll be more positive, more inclined towards receptive to the West. And then you have the rumblings that are going on even in Cuba, that's right on our doorstep in the South. So there are all of these things that are happening. And then you have all of the demonstrations. It's amazing. I think it's amazing to me how you can see the pictures of Iranians demonstrating and pray and singing the praises of America and President Trump in Iran, and on our own city streets, all we have are people demonstrating against President Trump and what's going on in Iran. It's really flabbergasting to see it. People are so indoctrinated, so deceived. You know, the God of this world has blinded people. I think that's part of that. That's part of the blindness and deception that people are caught up in. And so all of this causes a great deal of worry and anxiety. You know, and it's just something the Lord has put on my heart recently, the last couple of weeks. I happen to be teaching in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm in chapter 6 right now. You know, it's a tremendous chapter that speaks about the importance of prayer. But then towards the end of that chapter, it speaks about how Jesus said, do not worry. I mean, he says it very clearly, do not worry, don't worry, you know. And it's one thing to be genuinely concerned and, you know, look at things and prepare. But I think it sometimes that turns into worry and anxiety that can be almost paralyzing to people. And it's very scared. A lot of scared people, a lot of frightened people right now.
Yeah, you know? And in the body of Christ, we shouldn't be referring to anyone as fearful, scared, worried, you know, because that's a lack of trust in God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm pointing at you, but I got three fingers pointed back at myself, because there are times where if you're watching the wrong news channel or if you're tuning into the wrong sources or outlets, you're going to tend to have some anxiety. And because this world, it's crazy right now. We need that stability that God provides and that we should have as the body of Christ. But Claude, before we continue on and talk about some of these things, the top 10 things that people are concerned and worried about right now, and the answer is always God, the Bible, Jesus, prayer. But you're doing a series called Is It Finished? So Jesus on the cross, we'll go through this again when it comes to Easter weekend and leading up to it. He said, it is finished, and his work was done, and we just have to place our faith in Christ alone. So what do you mean by asking the question, is it finished?
Well, I just asked the question, is it finished? And part of it is a challenge to us to understand what it means when Jesus said tetelestai, or when he said it is finished on the cross, because you have a large segment of the so-called church which sees the atoning and redemptive work of Jesus on the cross as something that has to be perpetuated through a ceremony and ritual on a weekly basis. And that's not what Jesus said. What did Jesus accomplish on the cross? And that we know, the reason why we know what Jesus did on the cross was efficient and sufficient, right, to accomplish our redemption, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a living hope. Whenever we feel hopeless, all we need to do is look back at Jesus and see what he accomplished on the cross, and that he rose from the dead. And this is something that that's why I started this series a few weeks early, because I really wanted this resurrection week to be for people to really catch the spirit of resurrection week. You know, why should we limit ourselves to celebrating such a glorious truth for 1 week? Why not celebrate it? You know, we should celebrate it every day of the week.
Amen.
Every week of the year.
Let me quote, you just, you know, alluded to 1 Peter 3:3-4. I just want to share that those encouraging scriptures, and we'll move on. It says, Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, believer in Christ. And that's why your website, shepherdofhope.org, and Calvary Chapel of Hope, you base, you know, a lot on hope. I think of Hebrews 6:19, that hope we have in Christ is an anchor to our right. soul. So Claude, you say we have to guard against the clutter in the world to maintain our focus on the blessed hope. So let's go down some of these things in the list, the clutter, the top 10 things people are worrying about right now. And friends, we know these are things going on in our world, but we have a choice to make in how to react or respond to them. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's a top 10 list of what people are worrying about right now. Now, it's interesting. I'm looking at this list and I see sometimes, you know, should I start at number 10 and go towards number one, which is really first, but we'll start at 10. It says job security and the labor market. Now, you know, President Trump coming from, and I don't want to make this a political thing, but you know, President Trump comes from a business background, and I think he's doing a great deal of good trying to get manufacturing back in America, companies coming back into America, and to get the unemployment rate down and to make to provide more jobs, not just more jobs, but a better quality of job for the American people. But people worry about job security and the labor market. I think that was more under the last administration than it was under this administration. Mm-hmm. Number nine is data privacy and AI. You know, that it's kind of, I don't know about you, but have you experienced this? Let me just give you a scenario. You talk about something. My wife and I were talking about, I don't know, we were going to get an appliance of some kind, right? And we were just talking about it. You know, we're sitting next to each other. And all of a sudden, when I went to social media, I got an advertisement of what I was talking about.
Yep.
So there is something to that. There AI and your phones and all of this stuff. There is an element of intrusiveness to these things. Number eight is climate change. Now, I honestly, David, I really don't worry about climate change. I think that's. You know, that's more of a globalist. I know some people are very, very concerned about that, but that's something that they're very concerned about. Crime and violence, I think that's a much more. I look at New York City and the election of Mayor Mondani, and you know, he's planning on. There's a thing that just recently came out in New York City that he wants to shut the lights off. I think at 11 o'clock, you know. You know what's going to happen in New York City at 11 o'clock when the lights go out?
I mean, what could go wrong?
It's going to be a free for all. Military conflict between nations. I mean, we still have the Ukrainian-Russian war, and there's a number of other wars going on. Healthcare costs and access. I think that's improved. It is improving a little bit. I know prescription drugs. I mean, I've had to go to get prescriptions, and it just seems like there's a lower expense there. The state of democracy, that's a big thing. The Save America Act, that's a big concern to assure that our elections are safe and sound and equitable and you know, free of any kind of manipulation by either party. So the state of democracy, the economy in general, cost of living and inflation, and lastly, government corruption, you know, as the first thing. And I think that's a legitimate concern. Government corruption. Mm-hmm. I think we're in it. Our system has been invaded, and it has become a situation where you have politicians who are looking to enrich themselves at the expense of their service to the citizenry that elected them. And I think that is a big concern. But the one that I would that I'm surprised was not on there was, what about eternity? What about, you know,
at the afterlife,
after this life? You know, are we so distracted by these 10 things that we're not even thinking about? I mean, we just it's only been a few years ago that we went through that pandemic, so-called, you know, pandemic or whatever you want to call it, where people were really thinking about they were kind of shocked into being forced, you know. And the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. You know, what does your eternity look like? What does your eternal destiny look like? And so all of there's so many things for people to worry about. There's relationships we could add to that. There are a number of different top 10 lists, but our relationships. If you're not married, will I get married? If you are married, is what's the state of my marriage? If you're recently divorced, will you ever be married again? Our relationships. So what about parent-child relationships? You worry about that. You worry about what's going to happen to your kids in school. So you homeschool them, but even when you homeschool kids, they're going to be exposed to social media and things along those lines. So there's a lot of sources of worry, a lot of sources of worry. You might be in a church, is my church going to be invaded by a doctrine I don't agree with? Eschatology, theology, things like that. I mean, human beings, we have a tendency to worry, and we can find stuff to worry about very easily. Even pastors, I'll tell you, even pastors, I'm not immune to it. There'll be times when, I can't sleep and I'll be pacing the floor. And that's when the Lord speaks to me, or when he kind of gets my attention, says, "What are you doing? Why are you worrying? You're the pastor. Wake up, practice what you preach." And so Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 15, Jesus says, "Do not worry." And then he goes and he speaks in that last chapter of Matthew chapter 6, and he just, he really, it's an exhortation to not worry.
And of course, Paul, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, and then he goes on and tells you what we should be thinking about. And plus, 1 Timothy, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So as you're going through this list, and I have a list printed out here, I'm looking at maybe half of these, and I'm thinking, if Christians are worried about some of these things, like climate change might be one of the examples, it depends on where you're getting your information and what you've been told or taught. And we know what the K through 12, we know what the universities, academia is teaching, we know what Hollywood thinks about global warming, climate change, what they're trying to do to save the planet. And people are the problem, right? Jesus is the solution to everything, but they think anyway, their worldview's messed up. So if Christians are listening to the wrong voices or getting their information from the wrong places, it's no wonder that they can be just as susceptible to worry, correct?
Absolutely. Chapter 6, which is probably Jesus' greatest statement about exhortation not to worry and why we shouldn't worry, but it's a chapter. It begins with that well-known prayer of his, the Our Father. And something interesting about that prayer is, do you know that there's no first person singular pronouns in that prayer? It starts out, "Our Father, lead us not into temptation." It's all, it's plural. So there's a subtle
That's a good point.
Direction there by Jesus to speak about how, rather than worry, pray, come together and pray. Come together and pray. That's where the solution to your worrisome problems. That's where it begins to be answered, is when we come together in prayer. Of course, we pray individually to the Lord. We have our own personal quiet times. Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. He got up early in the morning to pray. Jesus was an incredible example of prayer. And if the Son of God and the Son of Man prayed, how much more should we pray? But then when he taught his disciples how to pray, he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So on and so forth. Give us this day our daily bread. Praying together. And I think if the church is ever to be what God designed it to be, well, we need a revival of prayer. We need a revival in our church, but we need a prayer revival, a prayer revival.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. Because I'm thinking in my own life, boy, do I need to be better at praying? And that needs to be one of my first responses. Trust God, pray about a situation. And I want to quote you and let you expound on this. You sent me in an email, you said prayer is essential to weather the storms of the times in which we are living. That's a great quote, brother. Prayer is essential to weather the storms of the times in which we're living, because we're all going through something, whether it's a loved one or health or maybe financially or something in our lives. And if we don't turn to God, to the Word, and or to prayer, hopefully a combination of those, I don't know, our foundation might be a little shaky. Go ahead and share.
Well, prayer is a declaration of dependence on God, but the lack of prayer is a declaration of independence from God.
Ooh.
Right? So really, your prayer life is kind of a barometer to show or to reveal or expose where you are at with the Lord. And you know, prayer is essential. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you know, say to this mountain, go into the sea, and it will go. You know, I mean, and how do we do that? It's through prayer, you know, through prayer. Let me just read to you. If I encourage your listeners or those that are watching this, I encourage you to. There are some authors that are really dynamic, either examples or authors about prayer. One is Hudson Taylor.
Yes.
Get your hands on a copy of Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Another one is, E.M. Bounds is another one. E.M. Bounds was an officer in the Union Army in the Civil War, and he wrote a series of books on prayer. And I just would like to read just a couple of sentences from one of his books. He says, "Prayer affects men by affecting God. Prayer moves men because it moves God to move men. Prayer influences men by influencing God to influence them. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world."
Mm.
Right? So it's, you know, our prayer. I just go back to what I said previously. If Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, if he spent long nights in prayer, consistent in prayer, the one thing, you know, that his disciples asked him to teach them about was his prayer life. His prayer life must have been so dynamic. And he's our example, right? He says, "I have given you an example." Paul wrote, and he said, "God has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." John says, "We're to follow in the steps of Jesus." Peter said, "We're to follow in his step." Following his steps, or John said we should walk as he walked. I mean, it's throughout scripture. So if Jesus prayed, where is our prayer life? Where is our prayer life? So that's
good question. You know,
so very important.
So before we run out of time, I just want to mention this. I thought this was already done a while back from Barna. But the number of Americans with biblical worldview is now really low, lower than what we thought. But Gen Z is polling, and this is over at thewashingtonstand.com. Gen Z is polling at 1%. 1% of Gen Z has a biblical worldview, and this is by Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center. So we shouldn't be shocked by this, but this is a reflection of a lack of the teaching of God's word, the sharing of the gospel, the ability of believers to defend the faith, and the inability of some pastors to equip the saints in their care. And here we go, another study that's just showing the biblical worldview declining. Gen Z, 1%, Claude. Just your brief thoughts on that in light of what we're talking about.
Well, I think it's a consequence of the church diminishing the value of the teaching of the word, diminishing of how many churches have vital prayer meetings where a good proportion of the church comes out to pray together. At our church, we have a men's prayer meeting every Saturday morning. We've had it now for many, many years. And even we see now that it's growing. Our ladies have prayer time also during the week. And so it's so very important for us to pray. If we really believe that there is a God, then why aren't we communicating with him? And you know, someone told me early in my walk with the Lord, you know, prayer and the Bible go hand in hand. Someone told me, when you pray, you speak to God, but when you read the Bible, God speaks to you. So whenever I'm praying, I have my Bible. I don't pray without my Bible. I'm there, and when I read the Bible and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to correct in me today? What do you want to advise me today? What wisdom do you want to pass on to me today? What encouragement? What comfort? What truth? You know, what insight about who you are, your grace, your mercy, your justice, your judgment, your righteousness, you know, your return, Lord. What is it that you want to communicate to me? And that's the way I read the Bible. So, you know, I grew up in a very dysfunctional household. I always believed in God, but I never got a response to him. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, one of the things that I was told that, and it's really proved true throughout my life, is that when I pray, I speak to God, but when I read the Bible, he speaks to me. So now that's how the Lord uses his word to solidify that personal relationship, the personal aspect of my saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's in prayer. And to get back to worry, you know, when you're praying and declaring your dependence upon the Lord and you're hearing from him in his word, you're going to be much less apt to get sucked into the worrisome
That's
events
right.
in our world today.
That's right. When you're praying or praising God, it's worry is not quite impossible, but it's really difficult when we're tuned in. Brother, thank you so much for your time. And this is a good topic, important topic, to get back to the basics of what we need to be doing, how we need to be responding to what's happening in our world with faith in God. Calvary Chapel of Hope and shepherdofhope.org. Claude, thank you. Friends, I want to mention the conference site again. I didn't mention it earlier. It's worldviewmattersconference.com. Make sure to check that out if you're in the Midwest, especially if you're considering going. Tickets are going very fast. worldviewmattersconference.com. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.